reporting, IPO readiness, no audits, which is why we're here and partnering with lots of firms. I am here to introduce Leonard from Citius Pharma. Take the floor. Obviously, mind the clock, and we'll ask questions at the end. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the introduction. So I'm Leonard Mazur, CEO of and co-founder of Citius Pharmaceutical. And I want to thank all of you for being here today to take the time out from this conference. If you had other choices, I'm very happy to have you here. And let me start with, first of all, since I'm going to be making forward-looking statements, all of you always hear me say this about this particular statement. That is, if you have difficulties falling asleep in the evening, read this from beginning to end, and by the time you get to the end, you will be asleep. So, but nevertheless, it is important. We believe that an informed investor is the best type of investor there is. So we advise everybody accordingly that you should definitely consult SEC.gov or go to our website where all of our filings, everything is there. So it's as complete as it can be. So with that, let me just start with a quick overview of the company. Actually, we have two companies here that are now in existence. One is Citius Pharmaceuticals, which is we'll consider that to be the parent company, and then Citius Oncology, Inc., which was formed just a couple months ago as a sub. It's a publicly traded sub now. So we're a little bit unique in the sense that our mix is biotech and pharmaceuticals. So we consider ourselves to be a biopharma company in that regard. What separates us from just about everybody in this entire conference, because I would like to have somebody come up and tell me that somebody's done this, but that is that we've put our own money into the company directly. So I have $22.5 million invested directly in the company. I've gone side by side with investors at various points in time. Myron Holubiak, who's the other co-founder of the company and vice chair of the company, he's got $4 million of his own funds put into the company. So that's a sign of our commitment to what we have to the company and our belief and confidence in terms of our portfolio. So, and that portfolio consists of primarily Lymphir, which is Denileukin Diffitox. It's a biological drug indicated for the treatment of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma. It has been approved by the FDA for that treatment. It was just approved at the beginning of August of this year. We also have Minilock, which is an antibiotic lock solution, a very unique drug in that there's no other antibiotic lock solution on the market for salvaging or sterilizing central venous catheters or infected central venous catheters. It's a major problem associated with CLABSI or CURBSI, central line-associated bloodstream infections or catheter-related bloodstream infections. So we completed a phase 3 trial. Great statistical data on it. You'll hear about that shortly. We also have, just as sort of a far afield from where we are with those first two drugs, we have a hemorrhoid drug, and that's something that we have because a number of years ago, we merged in. We started out as a private company in 2014. We merged in with Citius Pharmaceutical, which was public because we wanted to get a public listing. And Citius had had this drug in their portfolio, a hemorrhoid drug. We took a good look at it and realized there was an opportunity there to be able to monetize this for the shareholders in the sense that there today, believe it or not, in this day and age, in the 21st century, there isn't a single FDA-approved prescription drug for the treatment of hemorrhoids. You've got the over-the-counter market, which has preparation H and the other kind, other types of drugs like that to comport to the OTC monograph, but nothing on the prescription side. Huge unmet demand for it. So our plan is to take it to a certain level, prove that it works, and then out-license it or sell it off to a major partner. So 2024 has been a great year for us in terms of momentum, in a sense that, number one, as I highlighted before, we had Lymphir improved August of 2024. We're going to be commercializing the drug and launching it in the first quarter of – beginning of the first quarter of 25. We spun off the Citius Oncology successfully, had the sub acquired by a SPAC, and we own 92% of it now. And we achieved really, truly significant, statistically significant primary endpoints and secondary endpoints in a Mino-Lok phase 3 trial. So this is our management team. I always call this our mugshots. So so my background real quick, it's a combination of I spent my first 10 years at a company called Cooper Labs where they made 150 acquisitions. And I helped form we basically created medical specialty silos. The very first one I put together, the whole strategic plan, executed on its first acquisitions. It was an ophthalmology called Cooper Vision, became one of the world's largest eye care companies. Today it's part of the Cooper Companies, headquartered on the West Coast. Also launched a little drug called Vicodin at BASF Knoll Pharmaceutical, launched one of the very first calcium channel blockers into the U.S. market, and then spent time at ICN Pharmaceuticals, which ultimately morphed into Valiant, is now Bausch Health, where I launched Ribavirin, the very first drug approved for the respiratory syncytial virus in infants. So then I went entrepreneurial and formed several companies, had great exits. So Myron Holubiak, who's our vice chair and co-founder, spent just about his entire career at Hoffman LaRoche, rose through the ranks, became ultimately vice president of marketing, left the company, formed his own strategic consulting company, then sold it to Dun & Bradstreet, was running a unit for D&B when Roche called and asked him to come back to the company as president of Roche Labs U.S., which he served in until ultimately he and I got together. I just want to highlight a couple other people. I'm not going to go through the whole chart, obviously, but I'd like to highlight Dr. Myron Chuchman. First of all, let me say this about us as well. We're the only pharmaceutical company in the United States that has two Myrons in their upper management team, Myron Holubiak and Myron Chuchman, who's our chief medical officer. So Dr. Chuchman is an oncologist. He spent 23 years at Roswell Park in Buffalo as the chief of lymphoma myeloma, authored or co-authored over 180 papers. So he's a true KOL. We brought him on board actually about a year before we acquired the license for Lymphir. And we had no idea we were going to do that until it happened. But it turned out that Dr. Chuchman worked with the original developer of Lymphir, which was Ligand, and was an advisor to them. And at the same time also prescribed and used this drug because it was on the market initially for a time frame before it had to be reformulated. So great addition to our team in terms of he's truly a global KOL known by all the oncologists in that sphere everywhere. So also just to quickly highlight for you, we started out when we were at six people for the longest time. We're now in the 20s. So we had to add staff once we picked up Lymphir. And all on the technical side for the most part, but we started now adding in some marketing people as well. So I'll just highlight Mike McGuire, formerly Vice President of Marketing at Hoffman LaRoche, launched all their antibiotics. We also have we brought on board the former national sales manager for one of the competing drugs to Lymphir, who launched that competing drug. And so we've been going at doing a deep dive in that market segment now for a while. So basically, Citius Oncology, the symbol for it is CTOR, got started trading in August. It has Lymphir. And the reason we set this up is because what we didn't want to have is any more dilution in Citius Pharmaceuticals, because we knew that the expenses associated with launching Lymphir are going to be substantial meaning that we would have to dilute. And so we created the sub. Our plan is, this is now trading, our plan is to ultimately distribute the shares or dividend the shares to the Citius Pharma shareholders. We couldn't do that right away because we had a lockup on the shares for 6 months, so we got to wait till that lockup is over, and then we'll start making the moves on doing the distribution. So this Lymphir is a drug with a lot of potential, and we'll cover that a little bit, but just to give you a quick highlight, there's two investigator INDs, one at the University of Pittsburgh, where Lymphir is being studied with combined with Keytruda. Data on that is going to be coming out in the very beginning of November at a conference, a poster that's going to be highlighted at a cancer conference in Houston. There's also a second investigator IND at the University of Minnesota where Lymphir is being combined with CAR-T. So that, again, that's in the beginning stages. We'll have more information on that probably next year. And then there's a possibility of expanding to the indication to peripheral T-cell lymphoma, which is a much larger market segment. So now I'm going to go through this quickly. It is FDA approved. It got added to the National Cancer Network clinical practice guidelines just recently, which support adoption and reimbursement. We will have no issues in terms of pricing and reimbursement on this drug because there are two other competitors already in the market. They've done all the groundwork for it, so we're going to be able to piggyback in, and we'll have complete approval for pricing and reimbursement. So what is cutaneous T-cell lymphoma? It's not a pretty picture when you look at it. It's a horrible disease in reality. It affects about 3,000 people annually in the United States, rare disease. It's characterized by severe itching. It starts out as a dermatological disease, and it's usually seen by the dermatologist in that plaque stage that you see there. However, once it moves into the tumor phase, then it becomes the province of the oncologist. So that tumor phase is really, really awful. It's more prevalent in men than women, as you can see, and usually in patients in their 50s and 60s. So this drug targets the IL-2 receptor, and it basically works as targeted treatment therapy against malignant T cells and immunotherapy against Tregs, which is a really important MOA that we have in the sense that Tregs, where that can play well is, and that's why that trial is underway in Pittsburgh, at the University of Pittsburgh, is a drug like a PD-1 inhibitor like Keytruda actually has an increase in Tregs, and that can affect the overall efficacy of the drug ultimately, depending on the number. So we have temporarily reduce the Tregs, and that way then it should render a PD-1 inhibitor like Keytruda more effective. So basically, this is a competitive landscape for the drug. It's, as you can see, Adcetris, which is it's now a Pfizer drug. Seagen was acquired by Pfizer. That it's got multiple indications, but basically, I'm not going to let me say this about where we are with the other drugs is they have advantages and disadvantages. We have advantages over those disadvantages, and they have the same. The way this is treated by the oncologist, though, is there's no order to it. There's no 1, 2, 3. This is 1. This is 2. This is 3. What the oncologist does is his goal is none of these drugs are curative, is to keep that patient alive longer, as long as possible, and make them comfortable. So, for example, we have a significant impact on the itching side of it. So that's going to play a role. One of these drugs, for example, causes neuropathies. So he'll give it until those neuropathies become really painful, and then get off that drug and go into another drug. So it's a very dynamic approach to the treatment side of it. And what we know is this: anybody coming in, if you come into this market, ultimately what it is, you're additive. You're not taking market share away from any of your competitors, and that's important to recognize. The pricing in here is about $300,000 for a course of therapy, and that's already established by the other two primary competitors. Protolego is the other one, and that's marketed by Kyowa Kirin, a Japanese company here in the United States. So we did a phase 3 trial, lead-in study of 21, and a primary study of phase 3 of 71. Got good data on it, and basically it showed an overall response rate of 36.6%. Rapid response time, 1.4 months, and a durable response lasting about 6.5 months. Reduced in burden, as you can see through that waterfall, 84.4%. So, as I indicated, the upside opportunity here for the drug is in the immuno-oncology arena, and that basically is that what that study was based upon was there was an animal trial that was done that got published last year. In that animal trial, the animal trial proved conclusively that combining our drug, Lymphir, with a PD-1 inhibitor basically was superior to the PD-1 inhibitor by itself. And so basically the investigator at the University of Pittsburgh, he's an OBGYN/oncologist. So he's looking at female cancers, solid tumors in female cancers, and combining it. As I said, that data will be out very shortly. It's been accepted for a poster at this cancer conference in Houston. That paper will be out on November the 9th, roughly, is when we believe it'll be released. So with that, we also have this other trial going underway that's at the University of Minnesota with a top-flight investigator in combining it with CAR-T. What I like about this is that for us, what's positive is the fact that we're now sort of in the forefront of where breakthrough treatments are occurring. And that's good for us. It's good for the company. It gives us a strong identity out in the marketplace with the oncology community. So Minilock is our antibiotic lock solution. So we finished a phase 3 trial several months ago. Okay, terrific. We got a problem here. So let me talk about Minilock. Okay, good. Here we go. All right. Thank you. So what Minilock is designed to do, it contains minocycline, sodium EDTA, which is a chelating agent, and alcohol. It's designed to sterilize infected central venous catheters. And this is a problem for a lot of cancer patients have long-term central venous catheters surgically implanted into them. When they become infected, the only standard of care today is to surgically remove the catheter and replace it with a new one. It's a very painful procedure, and a lot of patients have a strong dislike for it afterwards. So the chief of infectious disease, Dr. Issam Rad, invented a special solution with those three ingredients in there to basically he designed it so not compromise the overall time that a patient can maintain their IV treatment. So basically, the way this works is the catheter gets injected with this solution. Let's see if I can just move this up. All right. So this primarily works by the catheter being injected with the solution. The nurse does this. The solution gets locked into the catheter and the line. It does not go into the body. I need to emphasize that. It'll sit there for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, the nurse comes in, aspirates out the contents, flushes the line, and the patient can have 22 hours roughly of uninterrupted IV flow, which is important. So, and this is done 5 to 7 days in a row. At the end of that 5 to 7 day time frame, That catheter and line is completely sterilized, including any biofilm that may have formed. And biofilm is basically bacterial slime that forms on the inner walls of the catheter, and it's very hard to remove. This is probably one of the only ones that can do it this way in that amount of time. So Dr. Rad really achieved something here. We went with the FDA. The FDA has given us QIDP, a very special status that allows us to have the drug being reviewed in 6 months and gives us additional regulatory protection from generic competition. So The market for this is about 500,000 patients, roughly. This tends to be underreported by the hospitals. And the reason being is because if they report it as a hospital-acquired infection, they don't get reimbursed. So it gets coded as something else. And so we know that there's an underreporting situation here. Hopefully, once we come into the market, we'll be able to get rid of this. Hope this problem will go away quickly. So it's associated with catheter-related bloodstream infections. It's expensive. Just the cost of the two surgical procedures is about $10,000 to $15,000 alone. The cost of treating a CLABSI or CURBSI is substantial because you're in the ICU. You can die from an infected catheter. It's important to remember that. There is mortality and morbidity here associated with this. So this, again, shows you how this works. So we submitted a phase three trial to the agency. The primary endpoint was a comparison of time to catheter failure. Time for treatment was about 6 weeks. We had several interim analyses, three interim analyses, look-sees at this. All of it was continue on with the drug, you're hitting your endpoints. What no one realized was how significant those endpoints were. And here you can see we had a statistical p-value of 0.006, which is just virtually unheard of. So it's extremely positive. We're going to be meeting with the FDA in November to discuss the results and to also work out with the agency the regulatory pathway for this moving forward. So at that time, when that's completed, when we have that process worked out, we'll basically announce that to everybody. In terms of adverse events, because this does not go into the body, there were no drug-related adverse events. There were other adverse events related to the patient's illness. As I said, most of these are cancer patients, severely immunocompromised. So QIDP, as I covered, basically the review time is cut to 6 months. We get an additional 5 years of regulatory protection, and that's really important on top of Hatch-Waxman. So we'll have close to 9 years, no generic competition, no Paragraph 4 filings. None of that can apply when you have that type of regulatory protection. It's actually better than patent protection because patent protection, they can still Paragraph 4 you and take you to court. So, and we've got a fast-track designation. So that's Mino-Lok. We think it's about Mino-Lok, by the way, is about a $2 billion opportunity for us, $1 billion here in the U.S. and $1 billion outside the U.S. Halo-Lido, as I covered before, is a hemorrhoid drug containing it's called Halo-Lido for right now because it has halobetazole, which is a fluorinated high-potency steroid combined with lidocaine. And we have a patent filed for this combination. It's a formulation patent, we've completed some phase 2B work. We're in discussions with the agency about the protocol for the next trial. Hopefully it'll be a small enough trial. We're not devoting a lot of resources to this at this point, only because most of our resources are going into Mino-Lok and Lymphir. So in terms of Citius Pharmaceuticals and the profile in terms of what it looks like, we've got 180 million shares outstanding, warrants of 73 million. Myself and Myron probably have about somewhere around 14 million of those warrants at this point. And as you can see, at this point, I'm the single largest shareholder in the company. And then we also have – I don't have the profile here in terms of Citius Oncology, but Citius Oncology – has 72 million shares outstanding, of which we own 92% of. And as I said before, our plan with Citius Oncology is to dividend and distribute those shares once that lockup period is over, which will provide a benefit and participation for the Citius shareholders into Citius Oncology. As we all know, since we are the 72% owners or 92% owners, pardon me, of Citius Oncology, that the financial results will also be reported in terms of our city's pharma financial statements, because it'll be consolidated with us at the 92% level. So it will benefit, again, the city of shareholders as well. So we're going, what's important here is we're going, we always used to call ourselves pre-revenue. We're going from pre-revenue to revenue in 2025, which is a significant step forward for the company. We've analyzed the market very carefully. Believe it or not, there's only several hundred oncologists that treat 3 patients a year in this disease. So we've identified where all the oncologists are. We've identified where all the patients are. We've already mapped out all the territories. We're working with a company called Eversana to bring the salespeople on board. We will need a complement of about 25 in total. That'll be a combination of sales reps as well as medical liaison reps and then some 2 KOL reps. So that whole process is underway already. The whole marketing side of it has been underway for some months now in terms of doing a deep dive. We have already all the state licenses. Everything's in place, the 3 PLs for warehousing distribution. All of that has already been organized and in place and ready to go upon launch. So with that, I have some time for some questions. Yes. Yes, there is a specific date. It's in the third week. Okay. Do we have a what? No, not yet, because we're waiting until the that holds the 6-month period is up, which will be in February. And somewhere after that, we want to see what market conditions look like. We want to be careful how we do this so it doesn't cause any negative pressure on Citius Pharma in the process or the other company as well. So we have to distribute this very, very carefully. We've got to look at market conditions when we're doing it. I can tell you, when I was at Cooper Labs, we did this. We spun off, it became Cooper Vision from Cooper Labs, and we actually waited a whole year before we distributed those shares, and it was successful. And the reason it was successful for both companies is, and why it'll be successful for us, is because Cooper Vision was growing like a rocket at that time, and we anticipate we're going to have good growth here. We think that within the first year, we'll have positive earnings for this business. So that's the best time to really do a dividend distribution of shares. Any other that's the best time to really do a dividend distribution of shares. Any other questions? Okay. With that, I thank you.